Hey, good evening, everyone. How are we all doing?
Great.
Oh, good. Okay. Thanks, partner. Okay, Colossians chapter 4. Thanks for the little mini introduction, Kevin. We are continuing to exhort the mighty resurrected army, the church, just working through just some themes surrounding that. Last week we prayed for boldness. Okay, I hope that we considered boldness. I hope that we prayed for others to be bold. And this week, we get to continue to pray and pray for clarity of speech. Really looking forward to tonight's class. Next week, Mike Dubb's going to continue to take us through the series while the rest of a handful of us are going to be out of town for youth camp. Really want to get through all this today because I'd hate to have to split it up with a week in between, but some really good application here. So let's, for clarity of speech, let's look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way that I ought to speak. Okay, so if you've been paying pretty close attention, you can see how closely this patterns the Ephesians section that we've spent the last 2 weeks in. Okay, in Ephesians, Paul writes, asking for prayers, that while he's a prisoner, that he would be bold. Okay? And, when you read the New Testament, boldness isn't something that I usually consider Paul not having. And so it encourages me that he would ask for it, right? And then that tells me that we're going to need boldness and that we ought to be praying for boldness and praying for boldness for one another. And then in Colossians, almost the exact same language, right? Pray that God will open a door for the word, even though he's imprisoned. Only this time he asks that he may make clear the way he ought to speak. Okay? So we're going to talk about praying for clarity of speech. Let's talk about clarity of speech here for just a moment. Poor communication is, if we think of like a business perspective here for just a minute, poor communication is one of the biggest barriers to an organization moving forward. Particularly maybe an organization making full use of its resources, its abilities, its talent, right? I can tell you from a business management perspective that companies spend millions of dollars a year training their staff on how to communicate more clearly. Okay. I want to spend some time tonight talking about communication because Paul asked for the brethren to pray for him that he would communicate clearly the mystery of the gospel. And so us as soldiers in this army who are taking this gospel message out, well, we ought to convey it in a way that can be understood, right? So when you think about communication, maybe in the workplace, boy, you could really talk about a lot there. Obviously, communication from the higher ups to the down to the staff is pretty important. But let's just consider a little bit. Why do these companies spend millions training their staff to communicate? Okay, well, they're selling a product, all right, and they got to make sure, because there's 100 other guys in the same town selling the same product, that their people are communicating why their product is better than the other 99 guys, right? Okay? And so they spend a lot of time doing that. For example, I thought of some examples just from my experience at Texas Roadhouse. If you go to Texas Roadhouse, you will never be called a customer when you're in that building. Okay, you will be called a guest. Okay, that's on purpose, right? They don't want you to feel like you're a consumer. They want you to feel like you're at the family dinner table, right? We're all one big family here, as long as you pay your bill and buy the biggest steak possible, right? Upcharge with the sautéed mushrooms on top, then you're really family, right? Okay, but you will never be called a customer. All right. Another example, the staff is trained, and I mean, a ton of money is put into the training program. And one of the things that they teach the servers to communicate is, notice these things when you go next time, okay? When you order a steak, the first thing they ask you is, how do you want it cooked? Okay? Now let's say you're a medium rare kind of gal, okay? As soon as you order that, the server is going to repeat back to you what you just said, and then they are going to tell you what you just asked for. Okay? All right. Mrs. Simpson, how would you like your steak cooked? She says, medium rare, sir. Boy, that's a terrible example. She's more of a well-done kind of gal. I mean, if you've ever cooked at any of these barbecue places, there's two gals here on this side that I cook well-done burgers for and set them on the side and make sure that they're ready for them. But let's say Mrs. Simpson's looking for medium rare, okay? And so the server says, okay, medium rare, warm red center. Notice that. See, they are trained to communicate back to you, you know, because people don't know what they want. They think they know what they want. But the biggest problem we have in the steak business is people think they know what a medium rare steak is and they got no clue. So then they order it and they get it and they're like, this is raw. It's like, no, this is what you ordered. Okay. So we are trained to tell you what you ordered. See, tons of money go into the training program so that the staff communicates clearly what product they're selling, and that they minimize mistakes on the front end, and that the right temperature of steak is handled. Okay, so just you can see how poor communication really does slow down the productivity and the expansion of businesses. Last one I can't skip. Okay, you have never been offered rolls and butter at Texas Roadhouse. You are always offered fresh baked bread. And honey means cinnamon butter, right? It's never just you want some rolls, okay? Look, you guys don't notice that stuff when you're there, but these servers have gone through hours and hours of paid training and have been told how to communicate, okay? how important is communication then? Okay, those are just business examples, right? How important is communication in personal relationships? Probably pretty important, right? Funny little story. I'm just getting over a cold and feel really good today. But I'm on the couch this morning reading my Bible, and I've got the blanket out and the pillow and my notes and my sticky notes and my other books, and I've taken over the couch, right? And I really got to blow my nose, and I don't want to get up. So I'm like, hey, Ethan, you know, go get me some toilet paper, right? So he goes into the bathroom, gets me some toilet paper, but by the time it makes it to me, he's got it all crumpled up in a little ball. And he only gave me one slice, you know? And so I said, can you go get me three pieces and not crumple it up this time? So he comes back and he hands me shreds. And I said, I told you not to crumple it up. He goes, I didn't. I go, then why is it in pieces? He said, you wanted three pieces. So he took one, you know, by our definition where the perforation is, he took one piece and then ripped it into three pieces. And I just looked at him and I was like, you did exactly what I asked for, right? But do you see how important communication is? How important is communication? And, you know, just thinking about, considering for a moment, what contributes to poor communication? What are some facts? And I'm open for maybe couple thoughts here. I got some things written down tonight that I would like to go through, okay? But what are some things that contribute to poor communication? I'm sorry?
Assumptions.
Okay? That's one of the first ones I have down here. Let's work on that for a little bit, okay? Assumptions. Okay, now, as you could imagine, as the evangelist here, I have a pretty good bead on a lot of things that are going on, the projects that are working on, the people that we're working with, the people, you know, I mean, a lot of this stuff comes my way, okay? Would you believe me that largely sometimes, and I don't mean gossip, I mean just flat out how much the basketball court cost, or how, well, who's cleaning the building this week, or who's preaching next week. Would you guys believe me if I told you by the time this stuff makes it back to me, over half of the details are wrong? Would you believe me? Because I'm being honest. And I don't mean like this big, terrible, like, gossip fest where all of a sudden, you know, Mr. Tool's, out on Saturday night places he shouldn't be. Like, no, that's not true. I mean, just details, just minor details, right? Who mowed last week? Why'd they mow? Why'd they not do this patch? Why is this clean this way? And why is this? I mean, there's so many assumptions being made, okay, by people who really haven't invested a lot of time in the actual project or in the conversation or whatever. Assumptions kill communication. Another assumption that sometimes can break down communication is assuming that people already know something. Okay? You know, so as someone who, you know, was a young Christian and always kind of knowing I wanted to be an evangelist, that was planning my ways, and then I allowed the Lord to direct my steps. But it was like, you know, I got up here and I've been listening to Luke and Kevin and Jared and these guys, and Mike Ferguson, and, you know, preach for so long, I was like, well, you guys already know this stuff. And Luke had to remind me pretty frequently, you have to assume that the majority of people don't know. Okay? Now, for those of you who maybe find yourself a little squirrely and a little bored sometimes, believe me when I tell you, when we finish these classes on Wednesday night, there's a lot, especially you go through Messianic prophecy, there's a large number of people who will leave and they don't quite really understand. Okay, now you got to understand that. I mean, that also is going to fall on the teacher to a certain extent, right? But what, just this general process of learning, like, guys, I'll just use myself for example. When I first became a Christian, I was working on Wednesdays and Sunday nights, so I came Sunday morning. And as soon as my schedule freed up and I made it that way, I was here. But in the beginning, I couldn't be here. I listened to all the Wednesday nights online. And when I became a Christian, Kevin was teaching through Zechariah. My introduction to Christianity Wednesday night Bible classes are red and black chariots going north, east, and wherever. I was lost. Just lost. Okay? I mean, do we have new brethren here in this congregation? I mean, probably a dozen just in the last year and a half. Okay? And I went through it again, made my own notes. I mean, it wasn't really until a year ago in my own Bible reading and my own studying that I really started to get a firm grasp on what is going on in the book of Zechariah. So you have to be careful, just in a teaching, not everybody knows what's going on. Okay, and a lot of times these things really take a little extra work at the end. So assumptions are a big contributor to poor communication. Side note, you know, the gospel message must be on repeat. You'd be surprised how many people don't understand this stuff. I mean, as we, like I said, we continually have new people coming in. The gospel message has to be on an endless repeat in this building. I mean, you just read Acts, right? These guys went, and it was, the message was the same. Okay, it was the gospel message of Jesus Christ. What are some other things that lead to poor communication? Listening. Okay. Do you mean, can I rephrase that as just people don't listen? Yeah, exactly. Okay, so I said people listen to respond rather than to understand. Okay, that's a huge communication breakdown. Okay, people aren't listening. And what happens is you all know people who maybe talk more than they listen. And you might know people who, when they are listening, they're listening to respond and they're not really listening to understand, because after you say something, their response is how it happened to them. Right? Okay, well, what happens is you just quit talking to those people. All right, people get discouraged, and so they just quit talking. And I'm sure there's maybe even people that maybe we've even kind of quit talking to. You know, we're not willing to have a nice little chat with before evening assembly. But you got to be willing to listen to understand, right? And I don't think people come by it like maliciously, right? The example, in a spirit of using myself as an example, that just always, man, that first year that, I think it was 2016, I went to Lancaster Family Camp in Ohio, And this is great, right? Like every person I meet. Okay, it's, you know, you go to a family camp and you meet the people from Africa and you meet the people from Virginia, you know, and you meet a couple people from Colorado. You got 10 new people, 10 new Facebook contacts at the end of camp, right? Pretty good. You know, now I'm in Lancaster and every person I meet, I don't know. Okay, so I was on a mission to remember names. And that's actually where I started my phone note. And it's a place where I write down names, okay? And I still have it, okay? But I remembered that I was meeting these people and I was focusing so much on their name and I was doing like the name association thing in my head. I'd get halfway through my conversation with these people and I wouldn't even know what they were talking about. And so I came back from camp a little discouraged because I felt like a bad person. You know, and I worked through that and realized that I was not a good communicator. Now, it wasn't because I went into it with malicious thoughts, right? It was just these things happen. So a lot of times when we're talking with people, when they stop talking, we just don't want to stand and stare at them. So we're thinking about how to reply, right? And so it's this trap. It's this trap that gets you, because if you only listen to respond, then you're not listening. Right? And guys come up here all the time and they say, and I agree with, if you listen to people close enough, they'll tell you where they're at. It doesn't matter if they're, you know, in darkness and they need the light, or maybe if they're in the light but struggling with deeds of the flesh or whatever it may be. And so, yeah, definitely listening skills. What else?
Doubt.
Doubt? Elaborate. Yeah. Yeah. I actually have that written down somewhere. So I'll come to that one later. All right? Yeah. Just the lack of confidence, you know, doubting your ability. Yeah, definitely. We'll come back to that one. What else? I mean, Paul's prayer is that is Paul an educated guy? Good communicator? Wise guy? Right? And even he's saying, look, pray for me that I may deliver this in a way. And you know why? Why is Paul asking for that prayer? Is it because he's a poor communicator? Look, man, every person's different, aren't they? The people, those sheep that are lost out there, they're not all the same, are they? And you got to understand how to meet people where they're at. Right? That's something that Mike Ferguson's really good at, if you know him at all. He is really good at meeting people where they're at. Him and I have nothing in common, and all the time I spent Bible studying and talking with him, he has always been able to meet me at my level and connect to some degree on some hobby or career experience that I have and to be able to make a connection there, okay? What are some other things that lead to breakdown in communication? Poor communication.
Attitude.
Huh?
Attitude.
Attitude? Elaborate.
Well, I suppose that could come from presumptions, but if you have prior experience with, say, a person before, your attitude is painful.
Right, yeah.
The last spot you were at, instead of learning how to let go of that attitude so that you can understand that person more.
Yeah.
So that's your attitude towards that person.
Yeah.
And actually, it's like a present ability also to communicate. If you need improvement, especially as a manager, and
yeah,
you can come across demeaning to your employees in order to motivate rather than understanding what they actually need to be elevated to lift it up to get more.
Yeah. And so what happens with these things, with like doubt and with attitude, is eventually communication just stops. Right? I think what Roger's saying, I think some people just don't know how to communicate. I think people avoid uncomfortable topics, okay? If you're that's one of those things where, like, you know, if communication, I mean, if you're more of an introvert, right, and you're just like, yeah, I'm not just going to walk up to somebody and talk to them, I mean, that's something you got to continue to challenge yourself on, right? Like, you're probably not going to be an evangelist, all right, and that's okay, right? But, I mean, we're in the people business, so you're going to have to push yourself a little bit. But I always appreciate, you know, what Brother Jared says. I mean, he says, we all like donuts. So if you don't know what to talk about, talk to somebody about donuts. Okay. I mean, I couldn't support that more. You were the one that said that, right? Yeah. So, I think, just gotta push. Okay? It's just, we are not going to get through this. When I was in high school, I played this game called The Sims. And, you know, basically you were just, you were a person building your own world, right? And I always really found it fascinating because the way that you built friendships in this game was you walked up to somebody and you hit the talk button. Boop, boop, and you just stood there and you just kept hitting it for as long as you could. And the more you talked to them, your friendship grew. Right? Isn't that kind of true, though? Okay, I mean, follow me here for a second. Aren't friendships just one long, continuous conversation? I always like to give the Millers credit here, but when I was a new Christian, you know, they sat right about where Super Dave is now. And so I would sit behind them. And so, you know, Larry's that kind of guy that's just always going to stand up and put his hand out and say, hey, who are you? Nice to see you. When are you coming over for dinner? And then, you know, Karen made me good food. And I've been a beneficiary of that for 11 years now. Thank you, guys. And you talk to him for 5 minutes at assembly, right? And then a week goes by. You talk to him for 5 minutes, but it's a continuation of that conversation, right? And then a week goes by, okay? And each conversation gets more meaningful, right? And the friendship gets stronger. Now, what if we went to Peaks together and we talked for 3.5 hours in the car and then talked for 4 hours over the weekend? Doesn't that friendship kind of exponentially, I mean, when you leave camps and you leave coffee dates and you do these things, I mean, there's really the longer you talked, the more you cemented the friendship, right? And so, you know, not to simplify it because it is incredibly complex, but really, you know, personal relationships in some degree is kind of this linear / exponential graph of just one long continuing conversation. And sometimes they're for 5 minutes at a time on Sunday and the substance can kind of be the weather and donuts. But if you will keep at it, it grows, doesn't it? And so the challenge is to keep at it. Because then if it's not your natural proclivity and it's awkward, and then there are people who are awkward, right? And I'm not, like, I wouldn't consider myself a very normal person, okay? I'm a little more animated. And it can be challenging, but really if you just stick to it and just keep hitting that talk button, you know, it does grow. Hit a lot of that stuff. Maybe some other things that contribute to poor communication. You guys are hitting all my ones on my list, so this is helpful. Yell it out.
Don't use jargon if you're talking about dinosaurs. Say dinosaurs instead of cerebellum.
Okay. Can I put your comment into vagueness and ambiguity?
Sure.
Okay. That's how I wrote it down. All right, good. You can't be vague. Okay, guys, when I was teaching accountability, because I believe accountability should be on the front end. Okay, I don't believe accountability should be a disciplinary thing on the back end. See, if you have communicated your expectations clearly, communicated, right? Because we're talking about communication. If you have communicated those clearly on the front end, then if those standards aren't met, the accountability takes care of itself because the person you're working with already knows that they didn't meet your standard. Does that make sense? Here's an example. So let's throw a party on Sunday night, right? And let's put let's put Rachel in charge. Okay? Rachel, I want you to throw a party after Sunday assembly and make it a good one. Okay? Do you think it's possible that her definition of good is probably different than my definition? Yeah, that's communication breakdown. But that's how these conversations happen in the workplace and in the church all the time. Okay? But if I say, okay, look, right when we get done, 10 minutes afterwards, I want all the chairs up. So now we're at 8:10, all the chairs are up. Okay? I want everybody in the back room. And 10 minutes after that, I want everybody to have a Coca-Cola in their hand. Okay? And I want Donahue playing music up front. All right? And by then, our 5 speakers that are going to kick off the bash are all ready to go and waiting up front. Okay? See how the accountability is on the front end? Now, at 8:20, if those 5 guys are up there and everybody doesn't have a Coca-Cola and the chairs aren't up, if those things aren't done, does she know that she didn't meet my expectations? So how's that conversation going to be when I go and talk to her? Much easier, right? Like, hey, what are we doing to get the chairs up? Because you knew the chairs. She's like, oh, yeah, that's right. We're just running a little bit behind. Here's the plan to catch up on it, right? You're like, okay, good. Accountability is supposed to be on the front end. Now, the reason why I bring all of this up is there are words that I call accountability potholes. Okay, you're going down the road, and you're making good progress, and then bang, right? And then you knock the bead off the tire, and then you're stuck, okay? And one of the biggest accountability pothole words is soon. Yeah, let's get together soon. Yeah, I'll get that to you soon. Do you think that soon to Sue might be different than what soon is to me? Okay, and there are all kinds of these words, right? So you have to be very clear about what you're talking about. Anybody ever been in a Bible study and found themselves struggling to be super direct with someone? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. One of the things I tell people when I Bible study with them is if you have the heart to get out there into one-on-one study with people, but you're not so sure you want to do that by yourself the first time, you can count on me being there. You just tell me who it was and when you told them, and I'll make it there. Okay? And people take me up on that all the time, and I get to sit in on a lot of studies, but it gives them the confidence to pull the trigger. You guys tracking? Okay, so I remember one of the first times someone took me up on this, we were sitting down and we sat with this gal at City Brew, and she had a Pentecostal background. And so in our first study, the gifts of the Spirit came up. Okay? Not in accordance with the Scriptures. You guys understand what I'm saying? Like she could speak in tongues, and the proof of her salvation was when the Spirit came upon her. And I didn't address any of that. And when we left, the person I was studying with was like, how could you have not shot her down? And I was like, oh, we'll get there. We need to establish that the Bible is the Word of God first before we use the Bible to show her that everything she's ever believed in her entire life is wrong. I'm serious. Hey, why do you think Paul writes to the Corinthians and says we all have knowledge that there is no such thing as an idol, but yet all these people are struggling with meat sacrificed to an idol as if the idol was something? It's called, that's been their entire way of life. You don't just unpackage that the first time you meet somebody. Right? Okay. So you ever sat in a study with somebody and, I mean, they're saying things, but in this particular context, you got to straighten them out because they're wrong? Well, I know I have the Spirit because of the change I've seen in my life. That's arbitrary, isn't it? Well, who gets to decide what's good? Well, now this individual does, right? And you got to say, well, I have to be frank with you. That's not true. And then you got to back it up with the Scriptures, right? You see, you can't beat around the bush sometimes. You have to be clear. You can't be vague or ambiguous. yeah. Well, we'll leave it there. Other things that cause poor communication. Laziness?
She's too lazy to tell you.
Laziness. Well, because it's hard to do, right? It's like it. Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's what, and so back to some of my earlier comments, you know, I mean, that's where we're going to have to push. You got to go up to that person, you got to hit the talk button, okay? And it's not always comfortable, and it's not always easy, and I don't mean if you don't do it, you have now failed, and God is displeased. I mean, just we have to challenge ourselves a little bit. We're in the people business, right? Okay? We got to push through those, and that's something I have to push through. I don't know if I come across, so the people who are really, really close to me understand this. I do not know if I come across as outgoing and an extrovert. I will tell you I am not. Like, even close. Everything I do is a push. Okay? To walk up, to start that conversation, to think about what we talked about. I mean, usually I have to write this stuff down at home just to remember. Okay? And then I got to pray through it and to, because I'm genuinely trying to take an initiative. This is not my natural. I would much rather just sit in the back and watch you guys have fun. Okay? So that's a push for me. Okay? usually you don't. I mean, usually, sometimes the assumption is that all evangelists are extroverts. I am not. Like, My battery drains about an hour in, and then it takes me 23 hours to recharge at home, and that's just my personality, okay? But I love people because I love the Lord, right? So we push. What else leads to poor communication? You have to yell it out because I'm going quick, Brad.
To slow down.
Okay.
Some things,
right. So we talked about listening to actually understand. A big part of that is going to be actually slowing down. I'm going to hit a couple last quick ones here. Feel free to chime in. One of the biggest contributors to poor communication is a lack of context. Lack of context. You ever walked into a conversation in the middle of it and then chimed in and realized that you had no clue what they're talking about? That is a lack of context. Okay? probably a good idea to know what's going on first before you chime in, right? Everybody's got an opinion. And we like to hear ourselves express our opinions a lot, especially on the internet. Okay? Context. A lack of context destroys conversations and communication. Here's a quick example. Do you think the person that's in the weekly Bible study with an individual probably understands the context of where that person is more than you do? Oh, yeah. Okay? Now, that's not to say that some people aren't better communicators than others and that some couldn't stand to benefit from a little coaching up. But you've probably been a part of scenarios where, you know, someone comes up and they think, you know, they're really chiming in aggressively on how you should be handling this thing with this person, and they have no context. They haven't been sitting there, they haven't sat down for 50 studies with them over the course of a year and understand. Look, okay, so for example, right? maybe some of you are squirming today that the gal said the proof of her faith came when the Spirit came upon her, and I didn't zap her with the shock collar right there. Maybe some of you are uncomfortable with that. I'm fine with it. Because I know I'm not going to change her entire thinking that she's had her entire life on the first study when she just met me. I have to get her to see the Lord, and the Lord can change her mind, not me. Right? But maybe you got an opinion on that, so you come up to me and you're like, you handled that all wrong. Okay, you lack context, right? You're not the one sitting there that understands these things. So I do got to push here a little bit to wrap up, and I wish I had more time for this, but a lack of context is probably one of the biggest things that destroys communication, okay? Because let me just say this. It's the fire that burns hotter than some of these other things. Like, it's a little one thing to talk about yourself all the time and not really listen and to use vague words, but, I mean, you come in and you don't have the full context and you're adding value and where it shouldn't be added, or you're talking about something that you don't really have any business talking about, that just torches relationships just faster than anything else. Last one I had down here was just a lack of understanding of timing. I mean, there's a right time to have a conversation and there's a wrong time. Okay? Knowledge is knowing what to say. Wisdom is knowing when to say it. Okay? And then something about tomatoes and fruit salad. Okay? point is, guys, Luke Wilson is the grand master of timing. He is one of the best communicators, particularly when it comes to understanding timing. Okay, I'm running bleacher laps at Dallas Stadium at like 5:30 in the morning, wondering why Luke wants me to run with him. You know, I've ran with Luke 2 times, and I hope he hears this. Because now, 6 years and nearly 8 years later, he didn't need a workout buddy. There was something I needed to hear. I was running bleachers at 6:30. Boy, when was it? About 6 in the morning at Dallas Stadium, because I needed to hear that I'm going to have to be patient with my wife before I got married. And he said, Nolan, basically, do you trust me? Well, of course I trust you. Do you know that I know you really well? Yep. Do you know that I know Sam really well? Yep. Be patient. Almost 6 years later, still working on being patient, right? Because I'm just like, go, 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 go. She moves a little slower than I do. That's just a physical example, right? Like, she's just a happy, just pretty go with the flow, you know? And she's the tortoise and I'm the hare, right? But see, she usually ends up winning because I'm going 100 miles an hour in all these kinds of different directions, okay? But understanding timing, all right? Again, a little bit of wisdom applying there, but yeah. So I did think that that was worth spending some time on, particularly because the prayer is so that he would make the most of the opportunity. So how important is it then for communicating the gospel? I mean, we're going to have to be really good communicators. Really good. Really good listeners. Really good at meeting people. Really good at timing. Really good at being clear. Right? You know, I think a lot about, you know, what if you were tasked with trying to explain what a rainbow looks like to somebody who was born blind? I mean, you can't do it, right? Anybody here think they could do it? I mean, I don't think you can, right? Like, nobody's ever seen even the color red, so how do you start with Roy, right? And now you have God, I mean, now you have God who's spirit trying to explain the spiritual realm to physical people. I mean, talk about a task, right? Do you think that the words that he uses to do that are very important? Probably why we shouldn't change them or add to them or take away. Kevin always likes to say he's got 66 books that he likes to read on repeat, right? Like, God put these perfectly together to develop eternal faith in us on this side of eternity. Like, the way he went about explaining this, he's very intentful about. Okay? You probably know how hard it is to communicate to someone through a language barrier, right? Have you ever had to communicate to someone through a language barrier? Hey, is there a spiritual language barrier with the lost? Oh, yeah. Like, guys, I have had entire Bible studies in Spanish before, and it's the challenge isn't speaking another language. The challenge is finding the right word to replace the word that you don't know how to say. That's the challenge. But God's got Bible words like sanctification and redemption, and he meant those, right? It's challenging. So you think about trying to substitute the word sanctification. I didn't hear you at first because I didn't know what song we were singing, Kevin. I got distracted. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, que amigo tenemos. What a friend we have. So he was right on. But, you know, point is, now imagine, you think there's a language barrier in the spiritual to those who are in darkness? They can't even appraise things spiritually. They can't. 1 Corinthians says so. So now you got to communicate spiritual things. I mean, they're spiritual people. God made them in his image, right? But there's a language barrier there. So it's challenging. We have to be very skilled communicators to reach these people. Okay, like, does this have any bearing on what we're looking at here? Look at Colossians 4. Particularly in verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer. Okay, so we ought to be praying. And he wants us in verse 4 to pray that he can make it clear the way he ought to speak. Look at verse 5. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Verse 6. What do you know? Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. I mean, is this applicable to us? Like, we did not just take all this time to consider these things, because in order to understand good communication, sometimes you got to understand the things that detract from good communication. Not only is it what Paul's praying for, but he tells us as Christians that we have to speak in a way that's clear, as though our speech was seasoned with salt, just that it's just right. You know, the wife made beef kebabs for dinner tonight, and they were seasoned perfectly. I mean, I took that first bite, and I was like, oh, you nailed it. Like, that's how the dispensation of the gospel is supposed to be. You can't just walk up to everybody and be like, you're lost, bang, right? Now, that might wake some people up, but it's not going to be very effective. Right? So we have to, he says, let our speech always be with grace, as though it were seasoned with salt, so that we will know how to respond to people. And not just like, who's your favorite baseball team respond? Like, how do you feel about the fact that sin separates you from the creating God? Do you believe God made the world? And being able to do that, seasoned as though as it was with salt. So we have a couple minutes here to the top of the hour. So I just want to rapid fire a couple things to you guys. Back here in verse 2, we are to be devoted to prayer, keeping an alert with an attitude of thanksgiving. Why would the Spirit tell us to keep alert while we pray? Because you doze off. It happens to me. My guess is it probably happens to you. So when I'm at home praying by myself, I do the majority of them out loud. Because if I do not do them out loud, I will get lost in my rabbit brain that I have that is all over the place. Okay? Some people like to write them down. I don't have the patience for that. But maybe that's a good thing for you, you know, writing down your prayers. But the point is, we do have to be a little disciplined in our prayer. He says, keep alert, okay? The attitude that opens the portal of the heavens, thanksgiving, right? Keep alert with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word. We talked about that in Ephesians. God is the one who opens and closes doors. But guess what? Prayer opens those doors, doesn't it? Look, you can go out your front door tomorrow morning and you can work until your knuckles are bleeding, until you can't stand up straight and your back is shot, and it's not going to open a single door. Because God opens the doors. Prayer in a spirit of thanksgiving opens that portal to heaven and opens doors. Prayer, we have to believe that, or we will not pray. Look, the periods in my life where I wasn't praying was because I, like, look, if you believe in the power of prayer, you'll pray. Notice, God is the one who opens the door, okay? But prayer is that portal to that, okay? People prayed all the time in the Old and New Testament and doors were opened, yes? Absolutely. So we have to believe that. He goes on to speak forth the mystery of Christ, which he's also been imprisoned. They may make it clear in the way they ought to speak. God has designed the message to go forth. At some point, you do have to open your mouth. I mean, have you ever wondered why God has the message preached? It could have been sung. It could have been lectured. You understand what I'm saying? Like, he could have had, you know, slideshow invented like 1,000 years ago, and the gospel could just be on slideshows. He could have had the angels do it, right? I mean, God could have done this anyway, but he says it's the message preached, Romans 10 says. The message preached. So at some point, I hope you're walking little ladies across the street and helping people mow their lawns, but at some point you do have to open your mouth. Because the gospel has to be preached. We talk about the things that we care about. You know, just kind of leave us with that. I came across a pretty interesting statistic here. From time to time, I keep up on auto racing. My dad really liked the NASCAR stuff growing up. I kind of got away from that in college. But I do particularly like a good Formula F1 race. The problem is they're always on Sunday. So unless you can find a way to run them back and watch them, you can't really watch them. But I just found out this year was a challenge for the Formula One teams because they put everybody under a spending cap. Do you know what the spending cap is for each team? Make sure I have this right. Yeah. Yeah. $141 million. Yeah, that's reduced. Okay. Before that, it was just, you know, whoever has money and is willing to pay can just pay. And so the teams who had more money were doing better than the teams who didn't. So they put them underneath a cap. Okay. $141 million. And when I found that out, I texted someone else in the assembly who I know watches Formula One racing, and I was like, man, people are willing to put their money where their mouth is, aren't they? People are willing to put money in the things that they care about. And apparently there are some billionaires out there in the world who love Formula One racing. And they will dump millions of dollars into it, and the only thought I could think about is, what are we passionate about? What are we excited about? Is it the salvation of the souls of mankind? Because if it is, then we should be talking about it. We should be backing it up with everything we have. Look, I say all the time, NFL football and $5 buckets of beer are enough to unite people in this life. And we are united with the bond of the Spirit. Okay? So, if you don't have $141 million, you can still make it to heaven. My point is, look, these people talk about and dish out the things that they're passionate about. We are passionate about souls. We are passionate about our families and everyone making it to heaven. We will talk about this. Okay? And if you're passionate about donuts, you'll talk about donuts. And apparently, Jared and I are passionate about donuts. So, brethren, the resurrected army must pray. Let's pray this week, particularly. Hey, let's pick on someone here real quick. John Mranzik, would you close us in prayer tonight? And then let's pray that our speech would be seasoned as though it were with grace, as though it were seasoned with salt. Okay, let's start that prayer this week.